Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to our worship service this morning, this beautiful middle of May, this fifth Sunday of Easter. We're still celebrating, as we do every Sunday, but officially in this season, we're still celebrating the resurrection of our Lord, which is the cause of our hope in every step of life. Oh, just a couple of announcements you'll see. I've added requests from Carolyn on the one about our church cooking at Parkview Ministries on June the 1st, Wednesday. You might want to come a little, if you can, a little earlier than 3. They'll get there maybe around 2 because some folks arrive a little early for the dinner. If you can volunteer during that time. Also, we want to make cookies. We want to have about 125 bags of cookies. And two in a Ziploc bag. They can be any type. I know when we do it for Al in the prison, we have to be restrictive of what type of cookies. You know, but you can use anything you want. And Carolyn, I have had a request. Do they have to be homemade?
No.
Okay, they can be any cookies. So two in a bag, and you can bring those the day of, or you can bring it next Sunday to church. Also, you know that on Wednesdays we have our men and women's time of support and fellowship each week. And the men are having a retreat this weekend. And we would, of course, all of our things are open to everyone. And if you haven't joined with the men's group on Wednesday, you're welcome. There are two ways you can do that this weekend. We are going Friday night to a wonderful German restaurant called Edelweiss. And we're eating there at 7 o'clock. And if you've ever been to Edelweiss, it's well worth the drive. It's just outside of Stanton. So any man that would like to join us for dinner, if that's, you know, that part, we're going to meet there at 7 o'clock. Also on Saturday, and that's probably going to be even better food, Saturday afternoon and evening, Webb will be cooking on the grill, and there'll be plenty of some type of meat that he'll have. And that's only about 30 miles away at Natural Bridge. So if you're interested in joining with us either Friday night at the restaurant, Saturday just can't come and hang out at the campfire, let me know and I'll get you the address. Any other announcements? Let's go to prayer requests. On prayer requests, one that I'd like to add to the ones we have is Jerry and Jamie Wetzel gave me one to pray for Ms. Wetzel. For Mamie, she will be having a procedure this week to relieve her back pain. So let's just pray that this will be effective, that the procedure will go well, and that it will accomplish what it's intending to, that the back pain would be lessened, if not eliminated. So let's keep Mamie in our prayers. Any other prayer requests? Praises or items for prayer? Seeing none, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the beauty that reminds us, as the psalmist would say, it just speaks of the manifold goodness bearing witness to our Creator God. For you have created all things, and by your hands they are and exist. We just thank you for your beauty. We see your beauty not only in the created order, but especially we see your beauty as it's revealed to us in the compassionate gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Because above all the blessings we have, none is greater than knowing that we are redeemed, called into your family, made one with Christ and one with each other, as Christ is the only mediator between both man and God. We thank you for that gift. We thank you that because of your initiation in loving us, now we can love you and we can love one another. And we do laugh when the other laughs, and we cry when each would shed a tear. And we lift up these requests, not only today, but as we have our daily times of prayer, we remember the concerns of our brothers and sisters. In particular, we lift up Mamie Wetzel today. We pray that you'll prepare her body for the procedure. May it be receptive. May the process just eliminate the pain and allow joy. We just thank you for the goodness and wisdom that doctors and nurses and technicians and all those have. May they praise you and acknowledge you as the source of their skills. And we thank you for their experience. May they draw on the very best of both. Thank you for this opportunity to gather in worship. It is what we'll be doing for eternity. It truly is heaven. And we pray, as you have promised, that as we come into your presence, you will meet us here. You will come and bring heaven to us as you bring Christ in our midst. We thank you. And we pray in and through his holy name. Amen. Amen. Look with me at the front of the bulletin. We gather in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, cleanse us from our sin, create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with a willing spirit. Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Amen.
If you'll look with me to the interior, we'll use the final psalm and the psalter as a call to worship, calling each to this holy task responsibly by whole verse. Hallelujah! Praise God in his holy temple. Praise him in the firmament of his power.
Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him for his excellent greatness.
Praise him with the blast of the ram's horn. Praise him with the lyre and harp.
Praise him with timbrel and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe.
Praise him with resounding cymbals. Praise him with loud, clanging cymbals.
Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. Let us do just that as we stand and sing.
Thank you.
First lesson comes from Acts 11, 1 to 18. Now the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." But Peter began and explained it to them in order. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, something like a great sheet descending, being let down from heaven by its four corners. And it came down to me. Looking at it closely, I observed animals and beasts of prey and reptiles and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'By no means, Lord. For nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But the voice answered a second time from heaven, 'What God has made clean, do not call common.' This happened three times, and all was drawn up again into heaven. And behold, at that very moment, three men arrived at the house in which we were sent to me from Caesarea. And the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen the angel stand in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them, just as on us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard these things, they fell silent, and they glorified God, saying, "Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life." Here is the first lesson for the day.
Thank you.
God. Forgive us of our obtuseness, our refusal to receive and recognize and rely upon the blessed joy, goodness of the gift that you've given us in a Savior who is a friend of sinners. Truly, as children content to make mud pies, while the richness of the most exquisite baker is offering his very best, so too we, to our own pain, to our own suffering, all too often forfeit the joy and the peace and the rest that you have accomplished. Forgive us for assuming that life is of our making, that problems are up to us to fix, that difficulties are to be shouldered by us alone, that if it is to be, it's up to me. Forgive us of that thinking, Father. Thank you for your Spirit's gentle and sometimes more forceful reminder that we have a Father. We need not live and scratch to make a living in the pigsties of the world, for we have a Father who invites us, longs for us, desires for us simply to return, to rely upon Him, and allow His goodness to be our portion. What a friend we have in Jesus, our elder brother, who's given us the prayer that we boldly pray today. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Is from Revelations 21:1-7. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, It's done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Here's the second lesson for the day.
and evermore will be. Amen.
Gospel reading, John chapter 16, verses 12 through 22.
Praise be to you.
I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. A little while, and you will see me no longer. And again, a little while, and you will see me. So some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this that he says to us? A little while, and you will not see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me. And because I am going to the Father?" So they were saying, "What does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about." Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him. So he said to them, "Is this what you are asking yourselves? What I meant by saying, 'A little while, and you will not see me, and again, a little while, and you will see me'? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow, because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you will have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You may be seated. Our gracious Lord, through your Spirit, we pray that we would see Christ in him alone. Open our hearts and our minds. Guide my words. Elevate and exalt your word in our midst. In Christ's name, amen. Tomorrow, I celebrate our wedding anniversary. And having been blessed, there are a couple things you know about Sherry. One is she must be extremely patient to live with me. But the other thing I've confessed is she's quite powerful, for she has been able to convince me to do things heretofore I've never done, like vacations that aren't connected to work-related things. And the other thing is concerts. I've gone to concerts. I don't like crowds anyway, especially if it's loud. And I've never really gone to concerts, but I've gone to a couple of those things and have enjoyed them. And one left me haunted by one of the songs. It was new to me, and it culminates at a resting spot because my thinking of it is not over, but the sermon is sort of my thinking to this point, of a song that was sung by a gentleman that I knew his name, but really not a fan of, really, Neil Diamond. Some of you may know Neil Diamond. I went to one of those concerts about a month or so ago, and the only thing I knew about Neil Diamond, you know who I'm speaking of, Neil Diamond? Only thing I knew about him is he had a bad barber, and he sang a song about Blue Jeans. I knew that song. But there was another song that can't leave my soul, because I think he captured not only the need that people have and the hurt that people feel, but why the gospel is essential. It's a song that I can't leave. Or it can't leave me. It's called "I Am," I Said. About someone in the success of life is in a place of deep loneliness and despair, where not even the chair gives ear. No one hears. And there's a haunting line in there that's put so beautifully. He says, LA is fine, but it ain't home. New York's home, but it ain't mine no more. And I thought how well that captures this sense of lostness that people feel. Where they are is fine. Everything seems to be going just well, but it ain't home. And where is home, they know, but they're not there any longer. And I've thought a lot about home. I thought last night around 11 o'clock calling John Williams to have him sing a song that he sung before us by Blake Shelton or Michael Blue Blake called Home. And he just cries out, I want to go home. Do you think much of home? Little girls do. Little girls, I saw it with my sister and my daughter, little girls, they love to set up home. And they'll get little doll babies and they'll dream of picket fences and curtains and one day setting up a home. Puppies long for a home. Someone to adopt them, a new owner that'll take and give them a home. Teenage children at camp hurt when they're away, when they're missing their home. We even call that pain being homesick. I remember as a 10-year-old, my parents taking me to a football camp in Ferrum College and dropping me off. And I was absolutely miserable. I still remember the relief somewhat I felt when within minutes I was able to find a payphone and call home. We're home. But what exactly are we missing when we talk about being homesick? What exactly, when it's Michael Blue Blay or Blake Shelton or Neil Diamond or you or me, what is exactly it is about home that's got that pull? Is it a house or a shelter? I think it's not so much having an address. We're not thinking, hopefully, of a particular structure. It's not the shelter. It's not other people under the same roof. It's not someone to sit beside you when you have your meal. I mean, you can get that at prison or at the hospital, Salvation Army. That's not what we're looking for. I think when we say we hunger for home, what we're really saying is we want to be known. And we want to know. We're looking for fellowship. We're looking for true communion, for someone to know me and for me to know the other. Let me tell you this morning, brothers and sisters, that longing in your heart is there because our Creator God has that same longing. If you think about God and all His eternity, the triune God didn't need anything. There was no deficiency. They were absolutely the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for all eternity. They were fine. They weren't missing anything. Nothing was lacking. They didn't create because we met a need. They created because they had a desire. At the beginning of Revelation, we see in praise to God that you are the one who's worthy. And it says that you created all things and by and for your pleasure. You're here because God wanted fellowship. He created man, and He declared man, Adam, the same that He had confessed Himself. It's not good to be alone. So He created a bride for Adam, and He created a people for Himself, and both of them went to smash quite quickly. Because of our sin, our turning in on ourselves, we've become focused only on me. So do you see this cross tear we have? We long for home and to know and be known by the other. But we have this sin that is by definition, curving in where I'm only thinking of self. And that's where the struggle comes. We are created to be in fellowship, but our sinfulness wants to make where we're protected. We don't care about the other. We try to protect ourselves from the other. Sin divides, and sin alienates, and sin leads to ignorance and loneliness. But the good news is that God, like Hosea of old, goes on a search and rescue mission for sinful spouses, for sinful wives. You know the story in the Old Testament of Hosea that was told to marry a prostitute, and he did. And she then returned to prostitution. And God said, go and marry her again. Now, I haven't polled any man in here, but I think had it been me, I wouldn't have gone after her. I probably would have said, good riddance. I probably would have said, thank God. Aren't you grateful that that wasn't God's approach? He didn't say, good riddance. He said, I will become poor so you can become rich. He said, I'll empty myself so that you can be filled. He said, I will leave the comforts of heaven to come to earth to find you so that we can be together forever. Last week we saw that Jesus was a good shepherd who came, and he said, as we read in the gospel last week, I speak and my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Well, I didn't deal with the question last week, but it comes up in that. Where does he lead us? Where is this great shepherd leading us? Jesus came to bring us home. We call it heaven. But there again, like we said with being homesick, I'm not talking about bricks and mortar. The beauty of heaven is not pearly gates and mansions. The reason why we long for our eternal home are not streets of gold. It's not heavenly fishing ponds or the great antique store in the sky. It's not the just sort of the best we can think. I was thinking again last night of this and played another song about home that I great deal like, but I sort of like it when it gets better. This song, and I'm drawing a blank on the artist, When I Get Where I'm Going. And it's a wonderful song. And it will be great. I do look forward to seeing my grandpa, but that's not what I'm looking forward to. I do look forward to having the cessation of struggle and pain. That will be wonderful. But brothers and sisters, the reason why the lame person will rejoice in heaven is not because they can walk upright. The primary reason we're going to rejoice is we're going to be home because we are going to be known and will know our Savior. So that's why I like when it ends that song by saying, when I get where I'm going and I look at my Master's face. That's home. Fellowship is knowing Him. And what we see in our passage today in Revelation, when we see Him, all things are made new. See, it's not the bricks and mortar. Go back to my story about homesickness. You'll see that what I was longing for when I was at that football camp in Ferrum wasn't a certain address. It wasn't a certain bedroom. It wasn't certain fixtures. It wasn't bricks and mortar. It wasn't the routine. The reason you know that is my homesickness left when my parents showed up at Ferrum in that old station wagon. My homesickness went away, but I wasn't home yet. Do you follow me on this? My homesickness went away because it wasn't the house I was missing. It was the longing for the one that loved me more than life. And that's a situation we're in Christians. Because after they picked me up, I still had a long, winding road to get back to Lynchburg. But I was home. And that's the way it is with Christians, because we know we already have eternal life. You don't get eternal life when you die. You got eternal life when Jesus Christ's love came upon you. Jesus says in that great high priestly prayer in John 17:3 that this is eternal life, to know the Father and the one he sent. So we're home already. We do have and I hope for all of us, it's a long trip to our eternal abode. We do have that process of going home, but we are home. We are known. But the rub is that we do have the long trip before we're home. So how do we deal with it? I want you to turn with me to a passage. 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians 4, Paul spoke of the difficulty. And he uses the same phrase that Sue read in Revelation 21. In 2 Corinthians 4, let's begin in verse 16. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away. We can all attest to that. We're not what we were 20 years ago, 40 years ago. Our outer self is wasting away. And that same phrase, wasting away, is the same concept in Revelation 21 of this world passing away. As we're wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. And this beautiful promise in verse 17. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. He's not diminishing what we go through. We do go through real stuff. It's not light because it's not there. It's not light because it's not truly evil. We do have to deal with the evil weight of this sin-torn world. But in comparison to what we're going to, just like read in the gospel today, I have never yet, as I've gone into have prayer or whatnot, greet a family who's just given birth to a newborn child. I've never yet in 37 years of pastoring had a mother look at me holding her newborn and say, you know, it really wasn't worth the pain. That's not the way we think. We know as soon as we receive that which we long for, that precious new life, it was worth all the pain and labor that had to be endured. In the same way, once we understand that when we step and see that new life face to face with Jesus Christ, all that we've gone through, all that you are going through right now, is light. Not because it's easy, but it's light in comparison to what we're going to, which is far heavier. Continuing reading, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal way to glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. You don't look what you're going through, you look whom you're going to, that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. I live once in Bedford County, right around the corner from a junkyard. And at night coming home, I would always have my headlights hit all these smushed cars. And I often would think to myself, you know, every one of those smushed, crushed pieces of junk, at one time, one day, really made somebody very happy. Have any of you ever worried about getting your car scratched? Have you ever fussed and fumed over somebody that dinged your car and didn't even have the decency to leave a note? Have you ever worried about a crack in a ceiling? And we could go through the list, and you know the point I'm making. Everything we've worried about are on things that are going to be destroyed and faded away. So we set our mind not on those things that are passing away. We set our mind on where we're going and to the one we're going to, and that's producing in us. We learn the most when things are tough. Martin Luther talked about suffering is just the color that Christ's team wears. You know, you go to a football game, you want to find out what color your team is wearing. And what Luther says in his commentary on this is, suffering is just our team's color. I'd like it to be different, but it wasn't for Christ. So why would it be for us? It's just our team's color. But that doesn't mean we're losing the game. We know we've won the game because he's already declared victory. So we suffer, but we know that what we're going to is producing in us. See, we learn in loss. You don't learn in the good times. You ever sit around talking about the good old days? If you ever listen to people talk about the good old days, and when you listen to them, they really weren't that easy. They really weren't that kind. They weren't that good. But we look back and we think when we didn't have two nickels to rub together as couples, or you look back to difficult passages or times you've gone through, and you learn and know that through that, God reveals certain things. One more passage, maybe. Turn with me to David's Psalm, Psalm 17. In Psalm 17, I want to read a passage where David knew hardship. Verse 7, I'll begin reading as you turn to Psalm 17. Wondrously show your steadfast love, O Savior of those who seek refuge from their adversaries at your right hand. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who do me violence, my deadly enemies who surround me. They close their hearts to pity. With their mouth they speak arrogantly. They have now surrounded our steps. They have set their eyes to cast us to the ground. He is like a lion eager to tear, as a young lion lurking in ambush. Arise, O Lord, confront him, subdue him. Deliver my soul from the wicked by your sword, from men by your hand, O Lord, from men of the world whose portion is in this life. Remember that phrase. Whose portion, whose value, whose inheritance is in this life. You fill their womb with treasure. They are satisfied with children, and they leave all their abundance to their infants. Everything they've worked for, they leave behind. As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I awake eternally, I shall be satisfied with your likeness. In Hebrew, is satisfied with your presence. Being with God is enough. When we truly understand this, prayer is its own reward. That's why we sang earlier, oh, what needless pain we bear when we forfeit. If we understand that it's knowing Him, that's what we're longing for. We have what we desire regardless of whether or not our requests are answered. You follow that? Because we desire Him, not a particular outcome. Knowledge and suffering go hand in hand. This is just the way it is. Knowledge and suffering go hand in hand. Paul says in Philippians, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His suffering. So this is eternal life, that they may know me. Jesus, if you'll allow me to paraphrase it, gives a parable, or He uses a life event as a parable. You remember in Luke 10, when Jesus is at the friend of His friend Lazarus, who had two sisters? You know their names, Mary and Martha. And Mary is so encumbered. Martha is so encumbered with everything that has to be done. She's working around attending to all the things of this life. She's making sure the house is clean and dusted and The linens are folded and the food is prepared and she's taking care of everything of this world. Mary, on the other hand, represents the heavenly perspective. And all she's doing is looking at Jesus. And that put Martha in a bad place. And Martha went and griped at Jesus and said, "Jesus, this isn't fair. Don't you care?" And what Jesus said in all compassion to Martha, and it's a test for us this morning, where are we in this continuum? He says to Martha, "Martha, you are occupied. Your mind is full and obsessed with the things of this world. Rather, Mary has chosen the one necessary thing." And it comes to us as a test as we hear that. Where is our hunger? Where is our longing? Where is our focus? Is it on the long to-do list? Or is it on that one necessary thing? See, I would suggest that every desire we express is truly a desire to go home. And if you don't believe me, I'm just stealing that from C.S. Lewis, who wrote about this in several of his books. And Lewis says this, and I'd like to close our thoughts thinking about this. Lewis says, "There have been times when I think we as humans don't desire heaven. More often I wonder, in our heart of hearts, have we desired anything else?" See, the longing to go home, the longing to make this world right, is a longing for heaven that we don't identify. We hunger to be adopted. We hunger to be loved. We hunger to be known. We hunger for Him. We were made for this, to go home. This is where true joy is. True joy is having both feet planted on earth soil, but breathing the air of heaven. I'll close with an acrostic. Another preacher I heard years ago said that the way to live this eternal life is to live alive. Alive. Whatever you're going through, if you want to be alive, follow the letters of the word alive. Whatever difficulty you're going through, always live in view of eternity. Brothers and sisters, without minimizing the difficulty that you're going through, we find joy in considering it a light, momentary affliction in comparison to the one we're going to. Let us pray. We would see Jesus and Him alone. Lord, we release at this moment those cares we have, all those thoughts that occupy us, all those difficulties we obsess over. You came that we may know the truth, and the truth will set us free. You are the truth. In knowing You, we are released, set free, delivered from all those voices and enemies and situations and difficulties that seek to tell us that they're the most powerful God in our life. We know the truth. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We love You. We thank You. In Your holy name, amen. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, that he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Creating God, you made the earth as a place of encounter. Here you made a covenant with your chosen people. When your children went astray, you came among us in the form of your Son. Showed your glory, and in his passion suffered for our sin. In him you brought every aspect of creation to its purpose. Your Son's resurrection empowered his disciples, and your Spirit's fire enlivens your church. You promised us that when our story with you is completed, you will inaugurate a new heaven and a new earth, where we shall enjoy life with you forever. So with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, anticipating your eternal praise, we bless you in an everlasting song.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Redeeming God, you have prepared a banquet for us to share with you in your kingdom. Send now your Holy Spirit, that we may taste that banquet today, that your Son is truly present among us, that this bread broken and this wine outpoured may be for us the body and blood of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Transforming God, in Christ and in this holy meal, you show us the shape of love. In broken bread, show us the cost of your love, and inspire us to love like you. In poured wine, show us the consistency of your love. Inform us to love as truly as you love us. Remake your earth that it may breathe your life. Remake its people that they may resound with your glory. Remake your church that it may look like your Son. Wipe every tear from every eye. Make death no more. And take away mourning and crying and pain, that all may find justice in your mercy and freedom in your service, until the beginning and the ending of all things are one in you. And you are all in all, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters, if you remember that post-resurrection walk, as the two disciples reflected upon the presence of Christ, they said, "Do you remember when he talked us and told us
and spoke of the Word of God on the road, how our hearts burned within us. But then they said, but it was at the table, it was in the breaking of bread, where we saw Him. His promise is real and true. In the midst of our enemies, in the midst of difficulties, a table is prepared where we receive the very body and the very blood of Jesus Christ. We see Christ, and therefore we are healed. And at this table of healing, we go forth strengthened and His. So I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth to come to receive the very body and blood of Savior.
Thank you.
Gracious Lord, having fed us at your table, we receive you. We thank you for the gift of eternal life. We thank you that you came and are walking us home. May we, as your children, as agents of love and kindness and grace and truth, may we walk each other and all others in your grace home to a loving God who calls us all to come unto you and thereby find real peace and joy. We thank you. We praise you. In your holy name, amen. Let us stand and sing our final hymn, closing our worship. Peace. both now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.